In Afghanistan now, the Taliban movement has been increasing its attacks in recent months, and that's forcing fresh attention on a critical U.S. ally next door. Pakistan is the country that originally sponsored the Taliban. 2 weeks ago on this program, an American general praised Pakistan's efforts to cut off that sponsorship. But he said Taliban fighters still slip across the mountains into Pakistan to receive sanctuary and support. This week, Pakistan's president visited the United States. At the United Nations in New York, Pervez Musharraf told a room full of skeptical reporters that it takes time to destroy extremist groups.
This needed, obviously, development of an intelligence network in all its complexity. I am giving this long answer because this is very important. A lot of people have doubts, maybe everyone here. Intelligence network in all its complexity means you need to have human intelligence. We could only develop it when we got inside.
General Musharraf also faces political resistance as he tries to help the United States. He's a military ruler who first came to power in a coup and who still faces a democratic opposition. When Musharraf allowed elections last year, a coalition of Islamic political parties made surprising gains, running on an anti-American platform. To learn more, we met with Dennis Cooks. He's an American who's been traveling to Pakistan for almost half a century as a diplomat and an author of A History of U.S.-Pakistan Relations.
There's this ambiguity that Pakistan is very much part of the solution, very valuable, but they're also part of the problem.
Dennis Cooks says every time he returns to Pakistan, the situation seems a little worse.
There are more people, the economy isn't getting better, there's corruption. The rulers seem to be interested in lining their own pockets. They're not focused on delivering services, help to the man in the street. And this has been, to some extent, the appeal that the religious parties have exploited, the opening.
A coalition of religious parties now rules Pakistan's northwest frontier province along the border with Afghanistan. Lawmakers there approved creating a Taliban-style Department of Vice and Virtue to enforce Islamic behavior. This week in another province, lawmakers called on the army to stop assisting American efforts to find Taliban or Al-Qaeda fugitives. These measures may have little effect, since they're not endorsed by the central government. But Islamic politicians have also paralyzed Pakistan's national parliament all this year. Ahmed Rashid is a Pakistani journalist who's written two books about extremist movements. We called him in the city of Lahore.
Musharraf, I think, was banking on the fact that these religious parties will play my tune and they will back me, whereas they also appear as a foil to the Americans. Then, you know, he can go to the Americans and say, look, I'm being threatened by the religious parties, give me more money or give me more support. What has happened, in fact, is that they have suddenly acquired much more power, political power in the national parliament than they ever had before. And they're using that to the hilt to try and get some of their demands passed.
How have they prevented the parliament from doing any business for the last year?
Well, they simply in the morning start thumping their desks and shouting, go, go, Musharraf, no, no, Musharraf, and kicking up a huge fuss which lasts for about half an hour, and then they walk out. And the ruling party are left there in parliament to discuss and debate amongst themselves.
Though religious parties remain a minority, there is a broader resentment against Pakistan's cooperation with the United States. Imran Ali is a political officer at the Pakistani embassy in Washington.
There's a vast misperception in the U.S. especially and in the Western world that anybody who wears baggy trousers and a shirt and has a beard is Al-Qaeda. That is not true. And if there is anger against the Western world or against the U.S., it is because of what the common man perceives as unjust policies of the U.S. towards Kashmir and Palestine.
Kashmir, of course, is the disputed province on the border with India. Pakistani extremist groups have operated there for years, historically with the backing of Pakistan's army. In an effort to ease the resistance of his opponents, President Musharraf is now negotiating with Pakistan's religious political parties. Pakistan scholar Dennis Cook says Musharraf is offering to make the Islamic parties part of his governing coalition.
He's chosen to go to work with the devil. It's unfortunate, because they clearly are not friends of the United States in any, not just a short-term basis, a long-term basis, nor are they good for Pakistan.
Well, that's interesting. You're suggesting to me that there are two different groups that the United States might need to think about. One is a group of Islamic political activists, and they're operating legitimately. But then there's also Pakistani Islamic militants, some of which may have covert support within the government itself.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still
operating.
Well,
that's so covert.
Not so covert.
And a lot of these groups are the militant arms of the religious parties. So there is a sort of a seamless web. And it's very difficult to distinguish between groups that are involved in Kashmir with the Taliban and with Al-Qaeda.
Despite the country's convoluted politics, Pakistani officials insist they're doing everything possible to fight extremist groups. Just last spring, Pakistanis arrested Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, an accused mastermind of the September 11 attacks. Yet the suspect turned up in the Pakistani city of Rawalpindi, the historic headquarters of the Pakistani army. In recent weeks, Pakistani authorities have disclosed that they are investigating at least three of their own army officers on suspicion that they provided facilities to extremist groups.